Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim, daf Lamed Aleph. We are holding on the top of Lamed Aleph at the Mishnah. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Allah Shalom. It's also sponsored by Eliza and Zev Belsky, Lezecher Nishmas, Eliza's grandfather, who was nifted this past Shabbos, Yoshua Ben Tzvi, Allah Shalom. It's also sponsored by the Gross family, Lezecher Nishmas, Chana Leah Bas Moshe Tzvi, Ramosha Yehuda Ben Rav Nachum, Chaya Leah Bas Naftali Hertzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayahu. And it's also sponsored by the Godor children for the yard site of their father, Rabbi Shlomo Godor, Rav Shraga Shlomo Ben Rav Avram Tzvi, all the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to discuss today, we're continuing in this series of Mishnayos in the end of the third parak that are all about various Lashon B'nai Adam, when people take Nedarim about certain things, what do we assume that they mean? So the Gemara is going to talk, the first Mishnah is going to talk about three different types of Nedarim where we assume what you really just mean to say is Jewish people when you take these Nedarim, but you don't use those words, you use different words. So we're going to have three different phrases that are used to mean Jewish people. The next Mishnah is going to talk about Bnei Noach and who's included in that. And then the following Mishnah is going to talk about Zera Avraham, who's included in Zera Avraham. And then the Mishnah after that is going to discuss Mekach u'Memkar. If a person took a neder from Israel, from Jewish people, so is he allowed to do any business with them? He's allowed to buy from them, sell to them. Is that called that he's getting anah from them, that he's giving anah to them? So who gets the hanah from a sale? Is it the buyer? Is it the seller? And the Gemara is going to discuss how that's going to depend on the demand of that particular item. That if it's something that's in very high demand, even though you're paying full price for it, but the buyer is the one that's getting more hanah. If it's something that the seller has had in stock for years and it's been hasn't been easy to get rid of, even though he's getting paid a fair price for it, and it's the seller's the one that's considered to be the one that's getting hana'ah. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about if a person takes a neder from Arelim. So does that relate to Bris Mila per se, or does that relate to Jews and non-Jews? And that's going to lead the Mishnah into six different milos of the mitzvah of Mila. So we're going to have a little bit of a discussion of the great Mila, or many of the milos of the mitzvah of Bris Mila. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah, Hanoder Mishov Se Shabbos. A person takes a neder from those who are Shoves on Shabbos. Asr B'Yisrael, V'Asr B'Kutim. He's not only not allowed to get an anah from Jewish people, he's also not allowed to get an anah from Kutim. Kutim were these people that the Melech Asher brought to live in the Ari Shomron after they were exiled from the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled from there, and when they started living in Eretz Yisrael, they were not Yireyas Hashem, and Hashem sent lions after them to kill them, and because of the fear of the lions, they were Megayir and they were Mekayim the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, many of them were still Ovid of Avodah Zarah. The Navi tells us in Malachim Beis, "Es Hashem Yireyem Ves Eloheyem." How you owed him? So it's Machlokas Tanayim and Amoraim, whether they're considered Gerei Arayos, that they only became Gerim as a result of the fear of lions, or they were Gerei Emes, that they were actual legitimate Gerim. So the Rambam in the ninth paragraph of Hilchos Nedarim quotes the din in our Mishnah, Lahalacha, that if you know their Mishov Se Shabbos, you're Aser Be Yisrael and Aser Be Kutim. So the Meiri asks on the Rambam, well, wait a second, once the Kutim were caught with the Demus Yona on Har Grizim, the Chacham considered them like Goyim L'chol Davar. We consider them like Goyim for everything. The Gemara says in Maseches Chulin, and that's what the Rambam paskins himself in the sixth parak of Hilchos Avadim. So the din that Kutim are Goyim Gemurim. So Bezman Hazeh, if you're a Noder Mishov Se Shabbos, you should be Mutter B'Kutim, not Aser B'Kutim. So how does Rambam paskin that you're Aser B'Kutim if Kutim have a full din of Goyim Bezman Hazeh? So the Meiri gives the answer that we never give in explaining a Rambam. He says, the Rambam was just writing quickly, so we just, we never explain a Rambam that way, but that's what the Meiri says. Yeah, it must have been that, it's the Derech Shitva. He was just writing quickly, so we just included the Lashon of the Mishnah, even though we don't paskin that way at all. The Keren Ora, however, suggests that even though Kutim are Goyim L'chol Davar, But when it comes to Nedarim, we have to remember it's all about Lashon B'nai Adam. So if a person, when he says Shov Se Shabbos, intends to include Kutim, so then it includes Kutim, whether they have a din of a Jew or they don't have a din of a Jew. May Ochle Shum, a person takes a Nedar from those who eat garlic on Friday night, Asur B'Yisrael, Asur B'Kutim. Not only are Yisraelim included, but Kutim as well. This is one of the Takaras Ezra, the Rosh points out over here, that you eat garlic on Friday night. So you, what the person's intention is to take a neder against those who observe the Takanas Ezra. So our girsa is that it's Asur B'Yisrael, V'Asur B'Kutim. And that's what the Torah writes as well in Siman Reish Yud Zayin. However, the Beis Yosef quotes another girsa that says, Asur B'Yisrael, Umutur B'Kutim, the exact opposite when it comes to Kutim. And he explains that since eating garlic is only Mitakanas Ezra, there's no way the Kutim observed that Takana. The Kutim weren't observing Takanas Ezra. So in Saftas Panech, he quotes the Lashon of Tosefta, May Ochle Hashum Rabbi Yehuda Oser. So it sounds like the Tanakama holds that it's Mutur B'Kutim. So, however, Tos Yantov wonders about the Beis Yosef that in the Gemara it's Muchach that Kutim are going to be, that it's going to be Asur B'Kutim as well. So it's hard to change the gears in the Mishnah when the discussion in the Gemara seems to assume that. Tosi Yomtov wonders why it is that the Rambam doesn't mention this halacha about eating garlic on Friday night. So the Rashash writes that he says, Anochi Tamalav, how did the Tosi Yomtov not realize that the Rambam left out the entire Takanas Ezra of Achila Shum? Meaning the Rambam left out this din of a neder me'ochli shum. Of course he did. He left out the entire Takanas Ezra, because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos Perek Dalin that one should not eat too much garlic, and you have to say that Takanas Ezra was only lizmanam, and it was not something that was meant to be for all times, and therefore it's nafal bebira. The whole din, the whole idea, the whole minhag of eating garlic on Friday night has fallen away. That's how the Rashash explains the Rambam's omission of this halach. In the Maisa Rav HaChadosh, Nosir Aleph, it writes that the Gra was adamant that people fulfill this takana of eating garlic, and in the Haros over there it says that the Gra is Lushitaso, that he holds any takanas chazal has many, many reasons, and therefore even if batal atam, lo batal adin. So he says everyone is chayiv in this takana, meaning what was the reason for the takana, the given reason for the takana? The given reason for the takana is that garlic is good for fertility, and therefore it's since mitzvah sonam, erev Shabbos, erev Shabbos, it's going to help for having children. But the Gra says, no, there are many, many reasons for takanas chazal. So if Ezra made a takana to eat garlic on Friday night, even an unmarried person should eat garlic on Friday night, because that's the Mishnah Berurah quotes all. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Pei writes that it's a mitzvah lechol shum be'erev Shabbos or b'leil Shabbos. V'adin shar dvarim ha-marbim zera. That anything that's marbim the zera, one should actually eat on Friday night, not like the Shitas Rambam. Anyway, Vayter in the Mishnah. The Mishnah then says, May Ole Yerushalayim. A person takes a neder anah against those who are Ole Yerushalayim. Asur B'Yisrael, Mutar B'Kutim. Only Yisraelim are Ole Yerushalayim. So he's allowed to get anah from Kutim. Kutim are not Ole Yerushalayim. They go to Har Grizim to do their own avoda. They're not Ole Yerushalayim. So the Gemara discusses the idea of Shov Se Shabbos. What does that mean exactly? People who don't work on Shabbos, people who are not allowed to work on Shabbos. What exactly does it mean? My Shov Se Shabbos. Ilem mi mekayme Shabbos. If you mean to say that it's those who fulfill Shabbos that actually don't work on Shabbos, even though they have no mitzvah not to work on Shabbos, well then Mayiri Bekutim. Why would the Mishnah say that it's Asir Yisrael Bekutim? Afilu Ovdei Chav Nami. If you happen to find Ovdei Chav Seventh Day Adventists or something like that, people who other people who don't work on Shabbos, as long as they don't, in actuality they don't work on Shabbos, they should be included in the neder. And really, what the Mishnah should have said is Asir B'Mekaymeha. That you're usher to anyone who is Mekayim Shabbos. That's what the Ran points out. That it shouldn't, if it really only includes, the Nedar is only meant to include those who actually don't work on Shabbos, but it has nothing to do with the mitzvah to or not to work on Shabbos, so then it should have said, B'mekaymeha. Ella mitzuvim ala Shabbos. No, it must mean that you're taking a neder against those who are mitzuva on Shabbos. Well, ihachi, if that's the case, ema seifa, you go weiter and you read in the seifa, me ole Yerushalayim, that if you took a neder from those who are ole Yerushalayim, Asi v'Yisrael l'mutter b'kutim, we said you're allowed to get an Anor from the kutim. They're not included in your neder. But v'amai, why would the kutim not be included in the neder of Oli Yerushalayim? Ha-mitzuvim ninu. They're mitzuvim to be Oli Yerushalayim. They just choose to go to Har Grizim to worship the Demosiona or whatever instead. So, but they're mitzuva to be Oli Yerushalayim. So how can you say that when it comes to Shavsei Shabbos, it means from the mitzuva in Shavsei Shabbos, when Oli Yerushalayim clearly doesn't mean mitzuva of Ole Yerushalayim? So the Gemara answers, "Am Rabbi Mitzuva Va'Osa Katani." No, when we say Shavsei Shabbos, you mean that those who are both—they're both mitzuva and they actually fulfill it—and that way it would be consistent when it comes to Ole Yerushalayim as well. That you're only including those who are mitzuva and Aliyah Yerushalayim and actually fulfill going up to Yerushalayim. The Kutim would therefore not be included in Ole Yerushalayim because they don't actually do it. Betarti Bavi Kamais in the first two dinim of the Mishnah, you know they're from Shavsei Shabbos and you know they're from Ochei Shum. Yisrael v'kutim mitzuvin v'osin. Yisraelim and kutim are mitzuva in not doing malach on Shabbos and eating garlic on Friday night, and they both fulfill those halachos. Of the chavim hahuda avdi osin vein mitzuvin. And if you can find goyim who don't work on Shabbos or eat garlic Friday nights, they may be doing it, but they're not mitzuva in it, and therefore they're not included in your neder. But ba'oli Yerushalayim, the last line of the Mishnah where we spoke about that third case where he took a neder of oli Yerushalayim, Yisrael mitzuvin v'osin. The Jewish people are mitzuva and osin. They're mitzuva to be oli Yerushalayim, and they actually are oli Yerushalayim. Kutim mitzuvim veinam osin, but kutim, they may be mitzuvim being Oli Yerushalayim, but they don't. They're not mekayimin, and therefore they're not included in the neder of Oli Yerushalayim. Next Mishnah, konim sheni nene libnei Noach. So who's included when you use the phrase b'nei Noach? So mutter be Yisrael va'aser b'avdichavim. We assume you're allowed to get an off from Yisrael because Yisraelim are not called, Jewish people are not called b'nei Noach. We're called b'nei Avram. We're not called b'nei Noach. But you're also b'avdichavim because all other nations of the world are referred to as b'nei Noach. So frek the Gemara, v'Yisrael minafik michal b'nei Noach. Are the Jewish people not also the descendants of Noach? Meaning, genealogically, we are. We are all the descendants of Noach. He was the only survivor, right? He and his children were the only survivors of the Mabul. So obviously, we're all b'nei Noach. So kiven de'iktish Avram is karval shemes. It says, no, once Avram Avinu was niskadesh by a Kodesh Baruch Hu as a Jew, so now we are all miyuchas after Avram Avinu, and we are no longer b'nei Noach. So says the Mishnah, she'eni nena lezera Avraham. If a person doesn't say b'nei Noach, says I'm not going to get anah from zera Avraham, then also Yisrael mutter b'chavim. Then he's not allowed to get anah from Yisrael, but he's mutter to get anah from of the chavim, even though b'nei Yishmael ve'esav are also zera Avraham, but they're not called the zera Avraham, even though they genealogically Yishmael and Esav also descend from Avraham, but halachically we don't consider them to be Zera Avram. There's Magen Avram in Or HaChaim Sim Tav Kuf Tzadi Aleph has a suffix. What if you say Mi Zera Yitzchak? You take a neder from Zera Yitzchak. Do you say that that includes the Zera Esav as well? The pasuk Kibi Yitzchak Yikari L'Chazera, where we learn that that's where we learn that not all of Zera Yitzchak is Misyachis Achar Avram, but that's only about Avram Avinu. Kibi Yitzchak Yikari L'Chazera. Your Zera Avram is only Yitzchak, and B Yitzchak only a section of Yitzchak, only Yaakov's descendants from Yitzchak. But that was a statement to Avram Avinu. No one ever told Yitzchak that his Zera is only the descendants of Yaakov Avinu. So maybe B'nai Esav are included. However, they quote from the Yerushalmi that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yitzchak, "Lezarucha etein es kol ha'aretz Yisrael," and Esav was not given it, so it sounds like Yaakov is bechlal zaro, but Esav is not. So Magen Avraham raises the question, but Esav also got. They got the Aratzos HaKini, Ba'aknizi, HaKadmoni, Rashi writes. So Esav should also be included in Zera Yitzchak. So that's what Magen Avraham says. No, that wasn't Midin Yerusha, that was Midin Matana. That Esav got Matanos, but the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, that was given to Yitzchak, and therefore to Yaakov, and therefore Yaakov is considered this week's parasha, right? So this is a good Daf Yom Kippur. Rashi Rashi, so Yaakov is considered to be the Zera of Yitzchak. Esav is not considered to be the Zera of Yitzchak. There's a further machlokas, and machlokas Rishonim, if when a person takes a neder, mi Zera Avraham, does he become Asur and Gerim as well? Meaning a Zera Avraham definitely does not include non-Jews, but does it include Jewish people who are not native to the Jewish people, who converted to Judaism? So the Rush writes that they're included in Zera Avraham, because all of Shomrei Tarar Bechal Zara are considered Zera Avraham. Avraham was the Tchila Legerim. He's Av Hamon Goyim Nesaticha. He first was the Avla Adam, and now he's Avla Chala Goyim, the Gemara Bracha says. However, the Nemuke Yosef disagrees, and he says Gerim are not included in Zera Avraham. Avraham is their father, so they could say Elokei Avoseinu Elokei Avraham, because he's Av Hamon Goyim, but Zera Avraham implies that there's also a genealogical connection, and therefore they're not considered to be Zera Avraham. Okay, so it says Gemara, Vayika Yishmal. The Gemara asks, Yishmal is also Mizera Avram. So how come when you take a neder Mizera Avram, it does not include Yishmael? After all, Yishmael was one of Avram's children. No, because the pasuk says Ki bi Yitzchak Yikar Lecha Zera Ksiv. Pasuk says that your Zera is only going to be inclusive of Yitzchak. Vayika Esav. Okay, but the descendants of Yitzchak include Yaakov and Esav. Be Yitzchak velo kol Yitzchak. That it's be Yitzchak, part of Yitzchak Yizikari l'chazera, but not all of Yitzchak Yizikari l'chazera, and therefore what's included in Zera Avram is Yishmael is out, and even half of Yitzchak is out. The Esav half is out, and only the descendants that went through Yitzchak, through Yaakov, are going to be considered Zera Avraham. So very relevant to Bismanenu, where everyone claims to be Jewish, we have to know, well, who's included in the Jewish lineage. So next Mishnah, She'eni Nenem Yisrael. Person takes a neder, he's not going to get Hana'a from Yisrael. So now we're not going to be talking about who's included, who's not included. We already discussed that. Now we're going to be discussing what's called Hana'a. Let's say I just do business, I sell somebody something, I buy something from somebody. Is that called that I'm getting Hana'a from him, that he's getting Hana'a from me? How exactly do we deal with that? So She'eni Nenem Yisrael, Lokeach Biyoser. You're allowed to buy from a Yisrael if you pay extra, or if you pay a high price, umocher bepachos, and you're allowed to sell to him if you sell things for a very low price. The Rad writes, so when the Mishnah says you're allowed to sell, you're allowed to buy for a high price and sell for a low price, that's only when you took a neder that you're not allowed to get hanar from the Yisrael, but you didn't take a neder not to get hanar from their nechassim. If you said lo mehem v'lo mi nechseihem, then it doesn't matter what you're paying for it. That item, that cheftza, is already asur bana because it had already belonged to Yisrael at the time that you took your neder. So it's not going to help to then pay the wrong price for it. She Yisrael nen and leave. You say that you take a neder that Yisrael is not allowed to get hanar from you, then lokeach bepachos umocher biyoser. Then you're allowed to do business with him if he buys it for less than the you're allowed to buy from him for less than the proper value and sell to him for more than the proper value, and that way he's not getting any hanah from you. But ve'ein shomim lo, people are not going to listen to you, and therefore you're never going to be able to do business, because who's going to want to buy something for you from you for more than it's worth, and who's going to want to sell you things for less than it's worth? So that's ein shomim lo. The Ran quotes an alternate girsa, e shomim lo, that you're allowed to sell for more and buy for less, if you could find someone who's going to play along and is going to listen to you. That's the girsa that the Ran has. That seems to be the primary girsa, because that's the girsa that's quoted in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Chav Zayin as well, that it's e shomim lo. In Tiferes Yisrael, the Mishnah used to point out that there's a chiddush in each of the girsa'os. According to the girsa that's quoted in the Ran, the Tana is being mechadesh that it's aser to take a neder l'sheker on them and to lie to them and to cheat them, because it's svara to say that if it's a mitzvah you could overcharge. So kamash milan, that since you caused that for yourself, so it's aser to do ona'a. So and according to the gears of ish shomelo, the chiddush is that it's aser to be shomelo, because it's aser to listen to him, because he deserves to a kana. das on the fact that he took such a neder. So the Radvaz says it's not enough kamina at all in halacha. Meaning it's just a matter of whether you're saying a statement of fact, nobody's going to listen to you, or if someone wants to listen to you, so gezuntay, let them listen to you. Now, if you take a neder sheini nena lahen vehinli, you take the neder in both directions. I'm not going to get an offer from them, but they can't get an offer from me either. Then you hanel of the chav, and then you can't buy or sell anything from a Jew because there's no way to be safe about that in terms of overpaying, underpaying. Someone's always going to be getting an offer from somebody, so you just got to do business with of the chavim and not with Jewish people. Now, as an introduction to the coming Gemara, the Gemara assumes that there are three types of items that you could buy. There's what's called a zvina charifa, a zvina metzia, and a zvina derami alape. So zvina charifa means that there's a tremendous demand for a particular item. So even when it's being sold for its market value, since there's so many people that are looking to buy it, and you know, and it's going to sell out in a day or two, you'll find another buyer if he doesn't sell it that day. So it's considered that the buyer is the one that's being nehenet. The seller is not the one that's getting an, even though he's getting full price for it, but the seller's, you know, the new iPhone comes out and everything, there are lines around the block or whatever, so they'll sell out right away, but the buyer is not the one that's, the buyer is the one that's getting an in that case. Zvina Metzia is average, you know, there's a normal demand for something, so when it's sold at its normal price, both the mocher and the kona are considered to be nehenet. The mocher is nehenet from the money, the kona is nehenet from the object, but if it's being sold for less than its regular price, then the mocher is not getting any hanah. Only the kona is nehenet. If it's being sold for more than its regular price, then the kona doesn't get any hanah, only the mocher gets hanah. Then you have a zvina derami alape. Zvina derami alape means no one seems to be interested in the item. It's not. It's just not selling anymore. So something like that, even if it's being sold at its normal market value, the lokeach is not considered to be nana from the mocher, because you could find somebody else to sell it to you. The mocher is the one that's nana because it's not so easy to find people that still want to buy this stuff. But nevertheless, if you sell it for cheaper, then the kona is also, then the kona is considered to be nana and not the mocher. So with that backdrop, the Gemara brings a din that Shmuel says, and based on that, it's going to explain what type of mecher our Mishnah was talking about. Which of these three levels were we talking about in our Mishnah? So Amar Shmuel, halokeach kli min uman levakro. If let's say you take a kli home from a store just to check it out, just to give it a trial run, and if it's good, then you'll pay for it, and if it's not good, you'll bring it right back. But then it breaks. Some accident happens where it gets ruined and it breaks. Ba'ones. So chayiv, you have to pay for it because you're considered like a shoel. A shoel is chayiv in onsim because kol ana shalom. That's the way the Rambam says. That's the way the majority of Rishonim seem to understand over here. That since you're a shoel, you're going to have to pay for it. So the Gemara explains that from the fact that Shmuel says that the lokeach is chayiv in ones, alma kasavar hanoas lokeachi. It sounds like he holds that when you sell an object, the guy who buys it is the one that's considered to be getting ana'a, and not the guy who's selling it. And therefore it's considered kol ana'a shalom, meaning he's like a shoel, because a shoel is kol ana'a shalom, that the lokeach is the one that's getting ana'a. So the Gemara asks, but wait a second, Tanan, it said in our Mishnah, she'eini nana miYisrael, if you take a neder ana'a, then you're not going to get any ana'a from Yisrael. Mocher bepachos, you could sell items to Yisrael for less than its market value, because then you're not going to get any hana'a from him because he's paying less than it's actually worth. Avol shava b'shavalo, but sell it at its market value, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because it's mutual hana'a in such a case where I sell something for what it's supposed to be sold for, we're both getting hana'a. V'yanos lokechi, but Shmuel said that it's all the hana'a is the lokech. Then afilu shava b'shava, then the halacha should be, then you should even be allowed to sell it shava b'shava, because I'm not getting any hana'a from him as the mocher, only the lokech gets the hana'a, according to Shmuel. Sans the Gemara, masnisin b'zvina derami alape. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about something that is very much not in demand. So when you sell it for its actual value, the mocher is getting hana'a. But maybe if you're selling something that is of average demand, then maybe in Echinami, all the hana'a goes to the lokeach, and the mocher is not getting any hana'a. So it says, well, in Cain, if that's the case, that we're talking about, it's vina derami alape, something that has no demand, Eimer Reisha, the beginning of the Mishnah said that that if a person who's Nudra Nami Yisrael is Lokeach B'Yoser, he can only pay more than the market value in order not to get Hana'ah from the Mocher. So if we're talking about something that no one's interested in buying, even if you buy it for its market value, you're getting Hana'ah. Va'od Eima Seifa, and furthermore, another Kasha, it says in the Seifa of the Mishnah, She Yisrael Nenin Li, if you take a net that another Jew is not allowed to get anah from you, but you are allowed to get anah from them. Lokeach bepachlus, you're allowed to buy for less than the proper value. Mocher bioser, and sell for more than the proper value. V'ibes vina drami alapi. But if we're talking about something that no one is interested in, there's no market for it. So why are you allowed to sell it only for more than its market value? A field shav b'shava. You should even be able to sell it for its exact market value because the people who are buying it are not getting anah from you if it's a zvina derami alape. So says no, seifa bezvina charifa. The seifa of our Mishnah is talking about a very in-demand product, a product that there's tremendous demand for. So in such a case, when you sell it for its actual market value, the mocher is not getting any hana because he could easily find someone else to buy it. The lokeach is getting hana because he may not so easily be able to find that product somewhere else. And therefore, you're only allowed to sell it for more than its value, because only then do we say the lokeach is not being nana, even though it's a zvina charifa. But to sell it for its value, for its exact value, would be asur. Says Gemara, ihachi, if the seif is talking about a zvina charifa, it's talking about something that's in very high demand, why does it say lokeach bepachos, that someone who buys it from Yisrael should only buy it for less than its proper value, in order that the seller should not get any hana'a, afil shav b'shava, you should even be able to buy it for its proper value, for its exact value, because by a zvina charifa, by something that's in very high demand, only the kona is nana. Only the guy buying it is nana. So even if you buy it for the exact value, the mocher is not getting ana. So the Gemara says, you know what? Let's rethink our Mishnah. Ella masnisin bezvina mitza. Our Mishnah must be talking about an average item, an item that has average demand. There is some demand, but it's not especially high demand. So such a mekach, when you sell it for its exact value, everyone's getting hana. The mocher is getting hana. The kona is getting hana. And therefore, the Mishnah says you always have to make sure that you adjust the price off of the proper price in order to make sure that that the person who's not allowed to get ana cannot be getting ana. Ude Shmuel, but the din of Shmuel who says that the lokeach is chayv in onsen because the lokeach is kol ana shalo, all the ana goes to the lokeach, that's bezvina harifa. Shmuel is talking about something that's in extremely high demand, and therefore it's considered to be kol ana shalo. It's considered to be all the ana goes to the lokeach. Ah, Tanya kavasi de Shmuel. We have a brisa that supports Shmuel. Halokeach kelim minatagar l'shagron lebeis chamav. If a person buys kelim from a merchant in order to bring them to as a matana to his father-in-law's house, to his kala, va'amarlo, and the chassan says to the merchant, imekablenos en mimeni, if my kala's family is interested in these items, aninos en chadmeim, I'll pay you the full value, the full price for it. But ve'imlav, if it turns out that it's the wrong gift, you know, sometimes you buy a gift, you're not sure, is this something they need, is this something they're going to like, not everyone has like a registry, you know, if you want to buy me something, then look at the, you don't know if they're gonna like it or not. So v'imlav, if they don't want to take it from me, then aninos in the chalafitovas hana shaben. I'll give you based on the hana that I got in the fact that they'll be appreciative that I tried to give them a gift. Meaning they'll be appreciative that at least I made the gesture of giving them a gift. So the Bryce explains what would be the din if an ones happens on those kelim neten su bahalicha. If the kelim get ruined somehow ba ones, when you're bringing those kelim to your father-in-law's house, chayiv. Then you're chayiv because all the hana'a is shalom. You have a din of a shoel. Bechazara, but when you're going back from the father-in-law's house after they refused it, they didn't want the gift, and you're bringing back the stuff, potter. Then you're potter because it's like a nosi sachar, because you didn't, since you didn't, you weren't kona the kelim, you bring them back to the mocher, so you're not considered like a lokeach who has a din of a shoel. You have a din of a shomer sachar who's potter from ones. So the fact that on the way there, though, you're chayiv in onsim, it's a raya to Shmuel that a lokeach, someone who buys a kli levakro, who buys a kli to check it out and to see is this going to be the right thing to buy. That's considered kolana shalom. That's considered he's like a shoel, that everything belongs to him. So the Gemara brings a maisa to explain that we don't always say that you're pater from onsin when you're on your way back. Meaning that we just happen to mention parenthetically that on his way back he's pater from onsin because he's like a shomer sacher. The Gemara says that's not always true. Ha'usaf sira. There was a certain merchant that buys animals from their owners for a set price to sell them on the Yom HaShuk, and he makes a tenai with them that if he's not able to sell them, he's going to bring these items back. Right? Sometimes you have merchants that operate that way. The Wayu Sfarim sell. They ask for all the Sfarim. They say, look, if we're able to sell them, good, and you'll get some money. If we're not able to sell them, we're bringing your Sfarim all right back. They're not buying the Sfarim from the authors. So the Shakal Chamer Lizuni. So you have this guy. He does this deal. I'll take your animals to the market. Whatever doesn't get sold, I'm bringing right back to you. So the Shakal Chamer Lizuni. He brought a chamor from the owners to go sell in the shuk. V'loizben, it didn't sell. So Bahadi Tahadir itnis chamara. On the way back, after the animal didn't sell and he was on the way back, some onus happened to the chamor. So chive Rav Nachman l'shlumei. Rav Nachman was mechayiv him to pay for the demea chamor, even though it was an onus and it was the way back. I thought on the way back you're chayiv an onsim. Say Rav Nachman then subalicha chayiv b'chazar pater. Didn't we just quote a brisa that says that if an onus happens on the way back from the father-in-law's house and they didn't want the gifts, you're going to be pater? Isn't this exactly the same case? So Amalei, so Rav Nachman said, no, it's not exactly the same case. When you bought gifts to bring to the father-in-law's house and they weren't interested in those gifts, that's it. You don't have no need for those gifts. You're bringing them back. But over here, chazar de safsira halachahi. Let's say you're bringing the chamor back from the market, and there was no one there in the market interested in buying it. And as you're bringing it back, someone says, "That's a lovely donkey. I would love to pay you for it." Fine, sell it. You'll be happy to sell it. Even right up until the bava de beise, right up until the doorstep of the house, yemilo masbinay. Wouldn't you sell it to him? So you're still considered a mocher in that case. You're not yet at a point where you're shomer sachar. Now, next Mishnah. Person takes a neder that he's not going to get any anah from arelim. So mutar ba'arele Yisrael. If he happens to be acquainted with uncircumcised Jewish people, they're not included in his neder. He's allowed to get anah from them, even though they're arelim. V'aser b'mulei avdichavim. If he happens to be acquainted with non-Jewish people who have a mila, they are included in his neder, even though he said the neder is about arelim. Circumcised non-Jewish people are still called arelim. Uncircumcised Jewish people are not called arelim. Shani nena lemulim. If you say that I'm not going to get any anah from people who have a mila, so aser ba'arele Yisrael. He's not allowed to get anah from any Jewish people, even those who don't have a mila. Umutar b'mulei avdichavim. He's allowed to get anah from those who do have a mila, even if they are from avdichavim, even if they do have a mila. She'ena or la kruya el shem avdichavim. Because the key is that when people say arelim, they don't mean whether a person has an orla or not. What they mean is a non-Jew. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, ki chol agoyim arelim v'chol beis Yisrael arele lev. Pasuk says all goyim are called arelim, even though obviously many goyim are circumcised, but they're all arelim. V'omer, and there's another raya from pasuk Shmuel Aleph. Vaya plishti ha'orel hazeh. David HaMelech called Goliath an orel. I don't know, did he check? Did he know that he was an orel? He probably didn't get that close. Remember, he called him an orel because he was a non-Jew. V'omer, in another pasuk, Pentis machna benos plishtim penta alozna benos ha'arelim. That David HaMelech refers to the plishtim as arelim, even though an entire nation of people, how can you possibly say they're all arelim? You don't know that. Salamai, the fact that they're non-Jews, that's why they're called arelim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer mu'usi here orla shenizganu barashayim. Obviously, the orla is something that's disgusting, that we mock the rishayim by calling them arelim. Shnemar ki kol agoyim arelim. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, now six teachings about the godless of Mila. Gedola Mila Shnuchsola Sholosh Esher Brisos. Mila so great that there are 13 Brisos associated with Mila. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Gedola Mila Shadoches HaShabbos Chamura. That Mila could be done on Shabbos if it's a Mila B'zmana. So you see how great Mila is that it's even Doches Shabbos. Rabbi Shuben Karach Omer, number 3, Gedola Mila Shalonitlo Lamosha Hatzadik Alamelo Sha'a. That all the Zuchiyos of Moshe Rabbeinu would not stand up for him, even for a moment when he did not mal his son. As soon as he was lazy about being mal his child, the malach came to kill him. Fourth teaching, Rabbi Nechami Omer, Gedola Mila, Shadochas HaNegoyim, that even though there's Nista Daraisa, you're not allowed to cut off a Negat Saras. If the Negat Saras happens to be Makam Amila, you have a mitzvah to cut it off, you're allowed to cut it off. Number 5, Rabbi Omer, Gedola Mila, Shekala Mitzvah Shas Avram Avinu Lo Nikra Shalem, Ad Shemol. With all the mitzvah Avram Avinu did, he was not called Shalem until he had in Bris Milah. Shnamer Yisalich Lefanai Ve'yei Tamim. You're going to be Tamim, you're going to be Shalem. And 6, Davarachar Gedola Mila, Shalem Malay He Lo Barak Rosh Baruch Vasalamo. Without Mila, Hashem would not have created the world. Shenemar Ko Amar Hashem Lo Brisi Yomam V'Layla Chukos Shemayim Va'aretz Lo Samti, that I wouldn't have placed the Chukos Shemayim Va'aretz. The Ran as a gear said that as a 7th teaching, that Rabbi Omer Gedola Mila Shishkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvos, that Mila goes on the list of those mitzvos that are Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvos. Shenemar Hinei Dama Bris Asher Karas, that Dama Bris Asher Karas Shemim Vachem Al Kol HaDvar Me'ela, that the Bris is Al Kol HaDvar. So these are 6 or 7 wonderful things about Mila. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara's discussion about Bris Mila. Have a great day and a great Shabbos, everybody.